grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Wassalatu Wassalamu ala Sayyidil Muslimin. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله. Those of you that watch Arise and Shine know that we always begin with the blessing of reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today will be no different, so we'll begin with that. It is stated that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever recites Salat upon me 100 times in the night and day of Friday, Allah Azza wa Jal will fulfill 100 of his needs, 70 in the hereafter and 30 in this world. And Allah Azza wa Jal will appoint an angel who will send that Salat to my grave as gifts are presented to you. Undoubtedly, my knowledge after my apparent demise from this world will remain the same as it is in my life. Allahu Akbar. This is a blessing that you recite. It says here on the Thursday and Friday, on the Friday night. And the Friday night, when does the Friday night start? You know, here we're brought up thinking that Friday night is Friday after Maghrib. Yeah, Friday after Isha. But Friday night is actually Thursday night. Islamically, the night starts before the day. So Thursday night after Salatul Maghrib, on Thursday night, Friday night starts. So Thursday night Maghrib, Thursday finishes. Thursday Maghrib, Friday night starts. So that night, Thursday night, up until sunrise in the morning, is classed as Friday night. So this Friday night, which is, as you would normally understand, Thursday night, please make sure you recite the Durood e Pak. Recite it every day anyway, if you can make a habit. I mean, if you're still confused, then every night, recite 100 Durood e Pak. Great reward in anyway. So please make a habit of reciting Durood e Pak. We try and give you this blessing every day so that you become habitual in it, make it part of your routine. Pass it on to others so other people can benefit from it as well. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that that day comes where every household, every Muslim in the world is continuously, every day, reciting Durood e Pak in abundance. And I bless. And then inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, the Ummah will be blessed as it should be blessed. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Arise and Shine. And you know, after we give you a blessing of reciting Durood e Pak, we have the privilege and honor to listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. We're now going to go and listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
میں اللہ تعالی کی پناہ میں آتا ہوں شیطان مردود سے
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا
لِلرِّجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِّمَّا تَرَكَ الْوَالِدَانِ وَالْأَقْرَبُونَ
مردوں کے لیے حصہ ہے اس میں سے جو چھوڑ گئے ماں باپ اور قرابت والے
وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِّمَّا تَرَكَ الْوَالِدَانِ وَالْأَقْرَبُونَ مِمَّا قَلَّ مِنْهُ أَوْ كَثُرُ نصيبا مفروضا
اور عورتوں کے لیے حصہ ہے اس میں سے جو چھوڑ گئے ماں باپ اور قرابت والے ترکہ تھوڑا ہو یا بہت حصہ ہے اندازہ باندھا ہوا
وَإِذَا حَضَرَ الْقِسْمَةَ أُولُو الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينُ فَارْزُقُوهُمْ مِنْهُ وَقُولُوا لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا
پھر بانٹتے وقت اگر رشتہ دار اور یتیم اور مسکین آ جائیں تو اس میں سے انہیں بھی کچھ دو اور ان سے اچھی بات کہو
وَلْيَخْشَ الَّذِينَ لَوْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّةً ضِعَافًا خَافُوا عَلَيْهِمْ فَلْيَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْيَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا
اور ڈرے وہ لوگ کہ اگر اپنے بعد ناتواں اولاد چھوڑتے تو ان کا کیسا انہیں خطرہ ہوتا تو چاہیے کہ اللہ سے ڈریں اور سیدھی بات کریں
ان الذين يأكلون أموال اليتامى ظلما إنما يأكلون في بطونهم نارا.
وہ جو یتیموں کا مال ناحق کھاتے ہیں وہ تو اپنے پیٹ میں نری آگ بھرتے ہیں.
وسيصلون سعيرا.
اور کوئی دم جاتا ہے کہ بھڑکتے دھڑے یعنی بھڑکتی آگ میں جائیں گے.
یوصیکم اللہ فی اولادکم للذکر مثل حظ الانثیین.
اللہ تمہیں حکم دیتا ہے تمہاری اولاد کے بارے میں, بیٹے کا حصہ دو بیٹیوں برابر.
فَإِن كُنَّ نِسَاءً فَوْقَ اثْنَتَيْنِ فَلَهُنَّ ثُلُثَا مَا تَرَكَ.
پھر اگر نری لڑکیاں ہوں اگرچہ دو سے اوپر تو ان کو ترکے کی دو تہائی.
وَإِن كَانَتْ وَاحِدَةً فَلَهَا النِّصْفُ.
اور اگر ایک لڑکی تو اس کا آدھا.
وَلِأَبَوَيْهِ لِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَ السُّدُسُ مِمَّا تَرَكَ إِن كَانَ لَهُ وَلَدٌ فَإِن لَّمْ يَكُن لَّهُ وَلَدٌ وَوَرِثَهُ أَبَوَاهُ فَلِأُمِّهِ الثُّلُثُ.
اور میت کے ماں باپ کو ہر ایک کو اس کے ترکے سے چھٹا, اگر میت کے اولاد ہو, پھر اگر اس کی اولاد نہ ہو اور ماں باپ چھوڑے تو ماں کا تہائی.
فَإِن كَانَ لَهُ إِخْوَةٌ فَلِأُمِّهِ السُّدُسُ مِن بَعْدِ وَصِيَّةٍ يُوصِي بِهَا أَوْ دَيْنٍ.
پھر اگر اس کے کئی بہن بھائی تو ماں کا چھٹا بعد اس وصیت کے جو کر گیا اور دین کے.
آباؤکم وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ لَا تَدْرُونَ أَيُّهُمْ أَقْرَبُ لَكُمْ نَفْعًا.
تمہارے باپ اور تمہارے بیٹے تم کیا جانو کہ ان میں کون تمہارے زیادہ کام آئے گا.
فَرِيضَةً مِّنَ اللَّهِ.
یہ حصہ باندھا ہوا ہے اللہ کی طرف سے.
إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا.
بے شک اللہ علم والا حکمت والا ہے.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Viewers of the channel, we had the privilege there of listening to some verses of the Quran with the translation in Urdu, and what very important verses we listened to today. All the verses of the Quran are important, but I think the verses that we listened today regarding inheritance, the rights of the orphan, etc., again, a very, very important subject for us to learn to make sure that we are fulfilling our rights. And Islam guides us and teaches us what our rights are, what our obligations are, what our responsibilities are. So everybody will get the haq, everybody will get their share. And, you know, there's no unfairness if we follow the rules of Islam. What happens is, unfortunately, is nowadays we make up our own rules, we make up our own rules as we go along. And as a result of that, then we steal the rights of others. We steal the rights of others, the wealth, inheritance, the money, or whatever it is, and do not fulfill the rights and responsibilities. And that's why we are having the breakdown of society. That's why we're having the problems that we are facing today. So it's very, very important on all of us that even if we're not aware of the intricate dealings of, so let's say, inheritance, because it is a complicated subject, even if we're not aware of the intricate dealings of inheritance, then at least we should be aware of the fact that Islam has an answer to the inheritance situation. So whenever that situation arises, then call upon Darul Iftah, call upon the scholars and say, look, this is the situation that we are in. Please advise us how we should divide this wealth. These are the number of children, these are the number, this is the wives of work, etc., etc. And that way you are fulfilling the rights and roles and responsibilities of every. And if we do not view as a munshan, then on the Day of Judgment we'll be held accountable for that. We'll be held accountable for the fact that we did not fulfill the rights of our children. We did not fulfill the rights of our parents. We did not fulfill the rights of our neighbours, our relatives, etc., etc. So it's very important that in general we need to know. In these intricate details maybe we don't need to know, but we need to at least be aware of the fact that these rulings do exist and we need to consult with the scholars as well. Viewers of the channel, before we go to the Kalam of the day, I want to talk a little bit about the subject that we're going to discuss today. And you know, this life, viewers of the channel, In this life, basically, you are sowing the seeds of the hereafter. You are planting seeds for the hereafter. And whatever seeds you plant today, they will be coming to fruition on the Day of Judgment. If you plant bad seeds today, then on the Day of Judgment, they will come up as bad fruit and you will be responsible for that. But if you plant good seeds today, good deeds today, then inshallah, on the Day of Judgment, you will benefit from that. And so the wise person is he who does good deeds. And a foolish person is the person that will do bad deeds, knowing that on the Day of Judgment, he'll be held accountable for it. And being aware of what are good deeds and what are bad deeds is again something that we need to learn. And we all are aware, we're aware of the apparent things. We're aware of the apparent things that are salah. We're aware that we need to do this. We're aware that we need to fast. We're aware that we need to pay the zakat. We're aware that we need to perform the hajj. And we're aware of apparent misdeeds as well. Stealing, unlawful gazes, theft, burglary. We're aware of all of these things. But the inner diseases, the inner problems, that's where it's hard to recognize those illnesses that are inside us. So when we talk about lying, backbiting, swearing, malice, hatred, and these sort of things, then it's hard to recognize them. Today we're going to talk about one such illness that is very hard, unless you really take a step back. Take a step back and look at yourself and say, well, yeah, actually, you know, actually I am prey to that. I have got the symptoms of that illness. If you don't take that step back and keep on moving forward, you'll have this inside you all the time. And that's the illness of arrogance. And arrogance is something that people don't believe they're arrogant. People just think, well, I know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I'm right. And that's why I'm speaking the truth. And people don't realize that you are arrogant. And inshallah, in today's program, we're going to talk about arrogance. We're going to talk about some parables. We're going to talk about some hadiths from the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some ayats from the Quran. And hopefully, will give us some sort of an idea of how to recognize this illness. And hopefully, time permitting, we'll look at the cures of how we can refrain from this illness as well. So please stay tuned. But at the moment, now we're going to go to the kalam of the day. Let's go and see what the kalam of the day is. Sallu alil Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Madina, 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 Madina.
بس گیا ہے مدینہ حضور کا بے کس کا آسرا ہے مدینہ حضور کا جب سے قدم پڑے ہیں رسالت مآب کے جنت بنا ہوا ہے مدینہ حضور کا پھر جا رہے ہیں اہل محبت کے قافلے پھر یاد آ رہا ہے مدینہ حضور کا آئی پھر یاد آئی پھر یاد مدینے کی رلانے بہت دور ہوں گلزار نبی سے کاش آئے بلاوا مجھے دربار نبی سے، اے زائر طیبہ یہ دعا کر میرے حق میں، مجھ کو بھی بلاوا ملے دربار نبی سے۔ مدینہ داغ فرقت طیبہ قلب مزمحل جاتا، کاش گنبد خضرا دیکھنے کو مل جاتا۔ فرقت مدینہ کوہ پر اگر پڑتے، کوہ بھی تو ہل جاتا۔
مدینہ یاد آیا ہے، مدینہ یاد آیا ہے،
مدینہ یاد آیا ہے، مدینہ یاد آیا ہے، مدینہ یاد آیا ہے۔ فراق مدینہ میں دل غم زدہ ہے، جگر ٹکڑے ٹکڑے ہوا جا رہا ہے، رہوں بس اسی غم میں بے چین سرور، مقدر نے جو داغ فرقت دیا ہے، میرے دل کے ارمان رہے دل ہی دل میں، یہی غم میرے دل کو تڑپا رہا ہے۔ یا رسول اللہ، یا حبیب اللہ، میرا غم بھی تو دیکھو، میں پڑا ہوں دور طیبہ سے، میرا غم بھی تو دیکھو، میں پڑا ہوں دور طیبہ سے، سکون پائے گا بس میرا دل مضطر مدینے میں۔
مدینہ
جو یوں مدینے جاتا، تو کچھ اور بات ہوتی، کبھی لوٹ کر نہ آتا، تو کچھ اور بات ہوتی، میں مدینے تو گیا تھا، بڑا شرف تھا لیکن وہی دم جو ٹوٹ جاتا، تو کچھ اور بات ہوتی۔
مدینہ یاد آیا ہے، مدینہ یاد آیا ہے،
بڑی امید ہے
سرکار قدموں کی جب نظر ہوگی مدینے ہم بھی جائیں گے
اگر جانا مدینے
مکینے گنبد خضرا کو حال دل سنائیں گے خوشی چاہیے تو مدینے چلو زندگی چاہیے تو مدینے چلو ساری مستی مدینے کی گلیوں میں ہے ساری مستی مدینے کی گلیوں میں غیب کیف سارے کا سارا مدینے میں ہے دل بھی صدقے کیا تسکین پائے تو پائے کہاں روح تسکین پائے تو پائے کہاں کس طرح دور رہ کر جیے ہم یہاں کس طرح دور رہ کر جیے ہم یہاں جب کہ سب کچھ ہمارا مدینے میں ہے
مدینہ یاد آیا ہے مدینہ یاد آیا ہے
یا رسول اللہ کر دیکھ لو یا مدینے میں بلا کر
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Viewers of Madhi Channel, you're watching Arise and Shine, and I hope that you enjoyed that kalam as much as we did here in the studio as well. Viewers of Madhi Channel, on today's topic, we're talking about arrogance. And arrogance is one of those illnesses that you're not really aware that you've got it. People, and it might sound silly this, if you are honest with yourself, you know that you're lying. You know when you lie, you know that you're lying. Again, if you're honest with yourselves, you know when you're giving the unlawful gaze. If you're honest with yourselves, you know that you're missing salah and all these things. You know about them. But arrogance is something that a person who is arrogant, he doesn't realize he's arrogant. So because of that, it's very, very important to make yourself realize that, am I being arrogant? Have I got this problem inside me? And what do I need to resolve this? And it is one of those, it is stated that arrogance is such a fatal disease that it leads to so many evils and deprives a virtue, a person of many, many virtues as well. Sayyidina Imam Muhammad bin Muhammad Ghazali, Ramatullahi Ta'ala, stated that an arrogant person cannot like for his Muslim brother what he likes for himself. Such a person cannot become humble, which is the root of piety and abstinence. He cannot dispel malice, but tells lies to protect his honor. He cannot overcome his anger due to his false respect and honor, and nor can he protect himself from jealousy. He cannot do good to anyone. He remains deprived of accepting the advices of others and starts committing the sin of backbiting against people. In short, an arrogant person feels obligated to commit each and every evil and fails to carry out every good deed due to his arrogance. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Viewers, inshallah, quite a thought-provoking saying there from Imam Ghazali Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, that arrogance leads to so many other things. And arrogance, he doesn't like for his brothers what he likes for himself. An arrogant person cannot get rid of malice. An arrogant person does not humbleness in himself. An arrogant person will tell lies to protect his honor. He cannot overcome his anger. He cannot do good to anybody. He remains deprived of accepting the advice of others. He won't even take the advices of others as well. And because of this, he starts to commit all these other sins. So if you think about it, arrogance is one of those roots. It's one of the roots of all of the other sins. There are many other roots of sins, but arrogance is one of those roots of sins that causes us to commit all these other sins. And if you remove this particular root, if you remove this seed, as we talked about earlier on, planting the seeds of the hereafter, if you plant this seed of arrogance, then this will lead to all of these other sins as well. So it's not just the fruit of arrogance that you will get on the Day of Judgment. You'll get the fruit of lies, of backbiting, of malice, of hatred, of not wanting for others what you want for yourself, all of these things, of not forgiving, of not being humble. All of these fruits you'll be tasting on the Day of Judgment. All of these sins you'll have to face as a result of this one seed. So if we can remove that seed from ourselves, if we can remove that illness from ourselves, then inshallah, azawajal, there's a great chance we'll be able to remove all of those other sins that we mentioned as well. It's narrated, viewers of the channel, that the successor of Ala Hazrat, Sayyid Ayub Ali Radhi, Ramatullahi Ta'ala, has narrated that a person whose name I do not remember would pay a visit to Imam al-Sunnat, Mujaddid-e-Din al-Millat, Allama Mawlana Shah Ahmad Raza Khan, Ramatullahi Ta'ala. And sometimes Ala Hazrat would visit him as well. One day, Ala Hazrat went to visit him, and they were in the Indian subcontinent. What they used to have is, they still have in some places, they have what are they like, they call him Charpoy. And Charpoy can either be a bed in which people sit on, or they're normally just like, imagine a low table. Imagine a low table, a big low table, yeah? Probably at the height of where, let's say, where your knee height is. A knee height table, but quite big. And people would sit on it, yeah? Or people would, alternatively, there would be beds, and people would sit on the beds, the rope beds as well. And there wasn't the idea like we have nowadays of sofas and all these sorts. So people would sit on this. And in some places, it still happens now. And one day, Ala Hazrat went to visit this person. And when Ala Hazrat visited this person, they were sat there, and somebody from outside came into the courtyard of this person's house. And he was quite a poor Muslim. And you could tell from his look that he was quite a poor Muslim. And this poor Muslim, he sat on one of the charpoys. He sat on one of these, like tables, one of these seating places. And this person who Ala Hazrat went to visit, he stared at him and looked at him in such a way, so angry that how dare you sit on that place, yeah? Poor people that come here, sit on the floor, basically that was the stare. You know that, people say that when you look at somebody in a certain way, that it's like painting, it's like 1,000 words, isn't it? Your father looks and you know exactly what he's saying to you, yeah? You know, when some people look at you, you know exactly what they're saying to you. And this person, when he looked at that person, he looked at him in such a way that this person realized that I should not be sitting in this position. This is not my position to be sitting here, yeah? And that person's a house that I've gone to, is annoyed that I'm actually sitting in this position. And so this poor Muslim, he got up and he walked out. And he was ashamed, he put his head down and he walked out of the place. A few days later, that same individual who Ala Hazrat had gone to visit, came to visit Ala Hazrat. And they were sat on these charpoys, they were sat on these beds outside the house. And a barber came. And the barber came to trim the beard of Ala Hazrat. Yeah? And when he came, Ala Hazrat was obviously busy in conversation, busy in talking. So obviously he straight away could not, do his duties. So this person, this barber, started to look here and there, thought, where shall I sit? And he couldn't see that at any place. And Allah Hazrat said to him, why are you standing? Why are you standing? We're all brothers here. Yeah? Sit next to this person here in front of me. That same person who'd looked down on that person who'd come to his house. Yeah? And so Allah Hazrat said to him, look, we're all brothers. We're all the same here. In the sight of Allah Azza wa Jalla, we're all the same. So what was Allah Hazrat doing at this moment in time? Allah Hazrat was actually advising that individual. Advising that individual. The message was to tell him that, look, we're all brothers. Muslims are all brothers. We're all equal. We should sit together. And so this barber happily sat next to this person, that same person who, remember, looked down at that person before. Now this person, when he saw that that barber sat next to him, he got angry. He got angry and he stormed out of the place. He stormed out of the place and he never came back again. And Allah Hazrat himself stopped visiting him from then on. And Allah Hazrat later, when he asked that, why does that person not come to you? Why do you not go to that person? Allah Hazrat said, I do not meet such an arrogant person. I don't meet those people who are arrogant. I don't want to sit with those people that are arrogant. Allahu Akbar. That this parable, this story that we mentioned, viewers and mothers, there's a great message there for us. Nowadays, what happens is we don't think twice about possibly sitting next to someone that's maybe not got the same status. Maybe that doesn't happen nowadays. You know, we may sit next to someone who is only a laborer, maybe he's not got the same education as you, or he's not got the same house as you, he's maybe not the same financial status as you, maybe not got the same car as you. We'll sit next to them. But will we go and visit them? And a question before I continue, and we'll talk about this a little bit later. If two people are ill, two Muslim people are ill, one of them is very wealthy. He's got power, he's got status, he's got wealth, he's got a big house, he's got a nice car, he's got a business, he's got a factory. Another person, a poor Muslim, he doesn't have a job. He's living in rented accommodation. He doesn't have a car. Two people are ill. Who are you going to visit? I'm going to let you answer that one. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But from that story that we mentioned earlier on, we can see that a person who is an arrogant, because we're talking about arrogance now, is, and we need to recognize these inside ourselves, a person who is arrogant does not consider poor or ordinary people to be worthy of sitting next to. That was at that time. And maybe you may say that, okay, now that doesn't happen then. But the example I gave you, maybe if we are arrogant, we consider that a poor and needy person, we don't need to visit them. When a poor person passes away, we don't need to go to the namaz janaza either, do we? We don't have to go to the graveyard. We don't have to go to the mosque. But if it's a wealthy person, you know, especially if pictures are going to be taken, aren't they, yeah? Allah. Pictures are going to be taken, so then we have to go to the graveyard. It's going to be in the newspapers that such and such person passed away, so I need to be there. Yeah? But when it's a poor person, when it's a person that doesn't have status, do we go and visit their grave? Do we go to the graveyard when they're buried? Do we go and attend their funeral prayers? And so, viewers on the channel, we need to understand this, that if these are acts that we are performing, then we've got the seed of arrogance inside our hearts. And it's extremely difficult, viewers of the channel, for a person to attain the blessings of advice if he becomes arrogant. Now, this person that we mentioned in that story, because he was so arrogant, he did not take the advice of Allah Hazrat. Such a great scholar of the time, the Imam of the time, he's advising him. But because he had this arrogance inside him, he didn't want to know. He didn't want to listen to it. So when Allah Hazrat advised him, that, well, he was indirectly advising him that, look, we're all Muslim brothers here. Yeah, there's no difference between us. We need to sit together. Again, he didn't take the advice. So again, that's another sign, viewers on the channel. And we mentioned it earlier on when Imam Ghazali said that a person, he doesn't take advice because of his arrogance. And here's a practical example. So in our lives, if people advise us, what are we like? Do we take their advice? Or do we think, what does he know? Yeah? Who does he think he is telling me what to do? He doesn't know anything, does he? Yeah? He thinks he can advise me. He can advise me. Who does he think he is advising me? I've been doing this job for 20 years and he's just started and now he's advising me. Arrogance. Arrogance. A good idea can come from anywhere. Don't think to yourself, just because that person hasn't got the experience that you've got, doesn't got the knowledge that you've got, or even from a Dawah Islami organizational point of view, you and me maybe have been in the mahal for 20 years, 30 years, and maybe you're such a senior, responsible person within the organization now, and somebody new in the organization advises you. And you think, you only came into the organization last week and you think it can advise me? Arrogance. Arrogance. And when it comes to advice viewers of Money Channel, generally speaking, advice can come from anywhere. Don't look at the person when someone gives you advice. Look at the advice. Look at the advice that has been given. Because sometimes our arrogance takes over us. Our pride takes over us. And we lose the opportunity to take that advice. So when someone advises us, take that advice. Listen to that advice. At least listen to it. You know, they say in English, chew on it. Chew on it, meaning that think over it. Think over the advice. It may be beneficial. And another thing I want to mention here, viewers of Money Channel, that when someone gives you advice, yeah, at that moment, your nafs can be heavy. Yeah, I'm talking slightly off topic here. I'm talking about nafs. When someone gives you advice, sometimes you can get angry. But how dare he? How dare he tell me? He may be advising you on your salah. He may be advising you on your wuzu. He may be advising you other deeds as well. And at that moment in time, yeah, you may feel heavy in your nafs that, no, my namaz is right. No, my salah is proper, all right. My wuzu is okay. Who's he to tell me this? Now, at that moment in time, when someone gives you advice, take it. Take that advice and say to him, okay, Jazakallah, brother, thank you very much for that. Now go away and think about it. Was he right? Was he wrong? And if he was wrong, why did he think that? What made him think my namaz wasn't right? What made him think my wuzu wasn't right? What made him think that even though I know he's saying to me that when you washed your feet, you didn't wash your ankles properly. For example, you didn't wash your ankles properly. But I did. But what made him think that? Maybe I did it so quickly. Maybe I did this. And so again, removing, you know, bad thoughts from people's mind is also our responsibility. Yes, that's also our responsibility. So when next time you're performing your wuzu, make sure, especially when you're performing it in front of people, make sure in that particular example, you wash your ankles properly. Maybe you're already washing, but make the sure that it's a visible act because you don't want to put these thoughts into people's minds. So again, always take people's advice. And just maybe you might think to yourself, well, you know what? I normally wash my ankles, but just maybe I was in a rush that day. And maybe he's right. Maybe I was rushing to Mishjamaat and maybe I didn't perform my wuzu properly. And he's right, in future I need to take care. In future I need to make sure I arrive for wuzu in time and make sure I do it in time. So maybe whatever advice you are given, even if the advice appears to be right or appears to be wrong, take that advice. Take that advice and as they say, chew on that advice, think over that advice. From a positive point of view, take every advice positively. Don't think take advice as someone that someone's trying to attack you. He's trying to have a go at you. He's trying to degrade you. No, he's not. You may have people out there. People do have malice in their hearts. Yes. That people want to degrade people. People want to put people down. But when anybody gives you advice, think of it positively. You know, if someone says to you, look, you need to do this. Yeah. Because, you know, your health's deteriorating. I'm fine. Nothing wrong with me. Afterwards, think, you know what? He's right. I should refrain from them five foods. Yeah. Don't think to myself, well, look at you. Look how heavy you are. Look how fat you are. And you're telling me not to eat burgers and not to eat pizzas, yeah? Look at you, look at yourself first. That's not the way. You know, he may have a problem where, you know, he cannot lose weight. Maybe he's not eating pizzas and burgers. Maybe he has got a problem, a digestive problem where it's not enabling him to lose weight. And he's giving you good advice and you're turning it back on him, you're insulting him. Again, that's not the way. But this, all of this that I mentioned so far, viewers on the channel, not taking advice, insulting people when they give you advice, you know, pushing people away when they give you advice. This is all part of arrogance. And until we can remove this arrogance in our heart, then all of these other sins that we mentioned, they'll all stem out from them. It's like a trunk of a tree, and all of these sins will come out from the stem, from the trunk of arrogance. And we see from that parable that we mentioned earlier on, viewers on the channel, the act of being arrogant and looking down upon a Muslim are extremely unpleasant deeds. And Allah Hazrat says, Allah Hazrat later on said that I do not want to meet such a person who looks down on other people. I don't want to meet these people who look down on other people. And think about it, that people, if we look down on people, then those people that meet us, that sit down with us, why do they sit down with us? Maybe they sit down with us because also they need us, but they don't really like us. They don't like us because we're looking down on people. And maybe they're mixing with us, maybe they're talking to us, maybe they're communicating with us because of our status and our power. I remember someone once famous saying that, you know, someone said once that an individual, this person was quite respectful, he was quite famous in his field. And he said that someone had spoken to a waiter. Yeah, they'd gone somewhere to have a meal. He was a world-famous personality. They'd gone somewhere to have a meal. And the person that was meeting him, that wanted to meet him, spoke down to the waiter. And he said, I got up and left. Because that person that respects me and doesn't respect the waiter is not respecting human beings. He's only respecting me because of my position. He's not respecting me because of me. If he respected me because of me, he would respect the waiter as well. So I don't like people who talk down to the waiters. I don't like people who talk down to them. And we see it now as viewers on the channel. And we shout at the waiter. And that's not a form of respect. That's not how we should be talking to people. We shouldn't be talking down to people. Today they are a waiter. You do not know their status. You do not know why they're there. But irrespective, even if that is their destiny, that they're going to be a waiter all of their lives, you do not have a right to talk to them like that. Respect them. Talk to them. Brother, can you please, you know, I need some more tea, please. Jazakallah. Thank you, brother. Isn't that better? Oi! What's happening here? Yeah, no tea? Come on. That's not the way we should be talking to people. So again, this is how we need to think to ourselves. And if we are like that, then we need to ask ourselves why. And we need to make a change in ourselves. And we receive from that parable that I mentioned earlier on, viewers of the channel, that the righteous people, the pious people of the past, they would consider every Muslim person to be an equal. Every Muslim person to be an equal. And there is no difference. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in his final speech, there is no difference between a black man and a white man, and a white man and a black man, an Arab and a non-Arab, and a non-Arab and an Arab. The greatest, who is the greatest amongst them? Who is the best amongst all of them? The one who's the most pious. And who's the most pious? I don't know. You don't know. I remember once we were in a masjid after the Jamaat, the Imam Sahib wanted to say a few words. He wanted to do a little speech, a little reminder. And he asked a question. Who's the most pious person here today? Everyone looked around thinking maybe there'll be some big scholar here and this and that, looking around. And he said, nobody knows. Maybe the most pious person that read namaz today is the person that rushed into the masjid, read his namaz, and then went out to earn his livelihood. Maybe he's the most pious amongst us. Who knows? Allah knows. Meaning he was giving a message. Don't look down at people. Don't think other people that you are better than any person. Just because you have a beard, just because your hair's going white, just because you've got these nice clothes on, just because you have a nice car, doesn't mean to say you're more pious than anybody. Piety is in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and we need to continually think to ourselves. We need to continually humble ourselves and think to ourselves that look, we are not pious. We need to refrain from committing sins. And we talked about it before that unfortunately are those people that think that, oh, we've done enough. I've done enough, haven't I? I read my nawaz 5 times a day. I pay my zakat every day. I've been on the hajj every couple of years. I'm sorted. Again, arrogance. Arrogance. And inshallah, we'll talk about that a little bit later. But for now, viewers of the channel, I think I've gone over the time again. Sorry, maybe I distracted from the topic. Please forgive me. We're now going to go to the reminder of the day, inshallah, azawajal, the daily reminder. And let's see what we're going to learn today. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, welcome back to our daily reminder. And today, inshallah, azawajal, I've taken a daily reminder from this very beautiful verse of the glorious Quran. Allah azawajal, he mentions in the Quran, وَلَا تَنِيَا فِي ذِكْرِي, and do not slacken in my remembrance. Yani, do not be slackened in the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned in many places about the remembrance of Himself. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرُكُمْ وَشْكُرُولِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. Allah Ta'ala also mentions that, O believers, you remember me and I shall remember you as well. Now when we remember Allah Azza wa Jal, just imagine when Allah Ta'ala will remember us, such a high rank that person will be, that Allah Ta'ala will be remembering that person. SubhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala will have mercy mercy upon that person. Allah Ta'ala will shower His blessings upon that person when it means that Allah Azza wa Jalla will remember that person. And always remember to yourself, وَلَا تَنِيَا فِي ذِكْرِي, and do not slacken in my remembrance. Always read this verse of the Holy Quran. Inshallah Azza wa Jalla, we will not be slackened off. What happens? Because we are humans, generally, you know, we start to slack off. We'll do something good and then we'll slack off, we'll back off. And then what will happen is slowly the shaitan, he will whisper in our minds, in our hearts, and he will take us away from that ibadat of Allah Azza wa Jal. And as Muslims, we should be getting stronger and stronger. You know, someone asked a pious person that how would a person be strong in the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal? And one of the things that the pious person, he says that when your age is increasing, your piety should be increasing as well. Now remember, ask yourself, when was the last time that I remembered Allah Azza wa Jal just for the sake of Allah? Not because I'm going to get good deeds, not because I'm going to be granted paradise because of this, just for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Never ever slacken off, because Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who has given us this power. Once a pious person, he was walking through a jungle and he was doing the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then the shaitan came to him and the shaitan whispered in his mind, "Oh yeah, that you are remembering Allah Azza wa Jal. Do you get a reply from it?" And he says, "No, I don't." And he goes, "So why are you remembering Allah Azza wa Jal when you are not getting a reply from Him?" So the shaitan worked on him. And what happened was, he stopped the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then he had another thought. He heard a voice from the unseen that, "Oh person, tell to the shaitan, say to the shaitan, and ask yourself, who gave you this power to remember Allah Azza wa Jal?" And the person, he said that, "Allah is the one who gave me power." So Allah Ta'ala is remembering you. Because you are remembering Him, Allah is giving you the power that you are remembering Him today as well. Let's all ask ourselves. Sometimes when we slack off, we'll be offering our salah, and then ma'azallah, we'll start to slack off. We'll be reciting durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then we'll start to slack off as well. We'll be going to the masjid to offer our 5-time salah, then we slacken off. This is the time that we get hold of our nafs, we get hold of our ego, and we say to the nafs that, "No, I will worship Allah Azza wa Jal. I will remember Allah Azza wa Jal." Inshallah Azza wa Jal, that will reignite the jazbah, the enthusiasm. And inshallah Azza wa Jal, we will be successful in remembering our Rabb Azza wa Jal. Remember, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned inside the glorious Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, and I have created the jinns and the humans for my worship. So Allah Azza wa Jal has created, we have created the jinns and humans for my worship. So we were created for the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. We were not created so therefore we can waste our time. We were not created that we spend our time in the markets. We were not created that we spend our times in football fields. We were not created that we can go out and, ma'azallah, waste our precious time. No, we were created to remember Allah Azza wa Jal. Every time, whenever this thought comes into your mind, always remember this verse of the Holy Quran, وَلَا تَنِيَا فِي ذِكْرِي, and do not slacken in my remembrance. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani channel, once we start to remember our Rabb Azza wa Jal again, and inshallah Azza wa Jal, once we are more powerful, that we do not get slackened off from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, we will be successful in this world and in the hereafter. And this is what this life is all about, to please your Rabb, to worship Allah Azza wa Jal in such a manner that our ibadat, our worship is all accepted in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then whatever Allah Ta'ala has planned for the Muslims in the hereafter, inshallah Azza wa Jal, we can enjoy the better life of the hereafter. May Allah Azza wa Jal give me and all of us the ability to remember Him. Let me just mention to you last time, وَلَا تَنِيَا فِي ذِكْرِي, and do not slacken in my remembrance. Ya Allah, we remember you. Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, we will never slacken off. Inshallah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before the break, we were talking about the fact that arrogance can come into ourselves with our ibadat as well, with our worshipping as well. We think we're doing enough. We think that, you know, I've gone on Hajj every other year, I've gone on Umrah every other year, I fast during the month of Ramadan, I pray five times a day, I even get up for tahajjud every now and then, charge the shalak, awabin, zakat, I do all of them things. What have I got to worry about? One question. Can you guarantee me that any one of your salah has been accepted in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla? Can you guarantee me that your Umrah, your Hajj has been accepted? Your Zakat has been accepted? Your fast has been accepted? Can you guarantee that? No, you can't. And so we need to never have this arrogance inside ourselves, this pride inside ourselves, that look, I've done enough, I'm doing enough, I've got nothing to worry about. No, that is not the case, viewers of Malay Channel. Never have this arrogance inside yourself with regards to your ibadat, that look, I'm doing enough, I've done enough, I can chill now. You know, like a person, he becomes a very successful businessman. And this is very, very few people. Very few people, they'll come to a point in their life where they say, oh, I've made enough money, now I can retire. Yeah. It doesn't happen. It can happen, but it doesn't happen. What happens is, I've never made enough money. And right to the dying day, they're making more and more and more and more money. If you can have the greed for the dunya, and in the dunya it's never enough, and you know that you're not going to take that with you. You know that if you were to live for 100 years and spend £1,000 a day, you could not spend all the money that you've got. Even then, you've got this greed for more and more money. Why do we not have this greed for good deeds? Why is it now that we think, oh, we've done enough? Why is it now that we think, well, I've done Hajj, I'm better than that person, I'm better. Who are you to say that you're better than anybody? On the day of judgment, in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal, who is the most pious person? Only Allah knows. Only Allah knows. With regards to the parable that we mentioned at the beginning, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, Ramatullah Ta'ala, that he was there, that he mentioned that incident of someone that was arrogant. Similarly, it is stated that once two villagers came to Muhaddis-e Azam, Alama Maulana Muhammad Sardar Ahmed Chisti Qadri Ramatullah Ta'ala, and they came to ask about a ruling. And he was sitting on a charpai, and having a high regard for the great scholarly statements of the scholar, the villagers want to sit on the ground. So he was sitting on the charpai, but the villagers, out of respect, they wanted to sit on the ground. And he said, no, he insisted. He said, no, come here, sit next to me. Sit next to me here. Why are you sitting on the ground? There is space, come and sit next to me. And they said, no, Azur, we're okay. He said, no, come and sit with me. And basically, out of respect, on the command of this great scholar, they came and sat next to them. But this was a great message for us, viewers of the channel. There's a message there for us of how we need to show people and not be arrogant. How we need to realize that there is no difference between me and us. Inshallah, viewers of the channel, we're going to take a small break now. We're going to go to the daily hadith, the hadith of the day, inshallah, and then we'll come back right back, inshallah, and continue with this topic. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
It is mentioned in Tirmizi, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا وَخِيَارُكُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. The most complete in terms of faith are those who have the best character. And خِيَارُكُمْ, the best among you, are those who are the best with their women, meaning their wives. So for us it's a lesson that if we want to be the best in terms of Iman, in terms of faith, then we have to adopt good character. Our character, our nature, our behavior should reflect the fact that we have adopted good character and learned from the prophetic way. And another reflection of being good or being among the best is that we are good with the women of our household, or in this respect, our the wife. So if a husband is bad to his wife, or does not treat her well in any way, or does not fulfill her right, he cannot be from those who are considered the best among the people. There may be people who are apparently very religious. They have a religious outlook, religious appearance. They seem very good outside, but when they come home, they are completely different people. And it's a lesson for them especially, and for many others generally. Men must learn that true character or good character is seen or reflected outside of the home and within the home as well.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Rise and Shine, and today we're talking about arrogance. And before the break, we mentioned that there was the incident with that scholar. That scholar would make the poor villagers sit next to them. And again, you know, that one is a show, it's a message there. It's a teaching people, that people that are watching, that this is how we should live our lives. That we shouldn't show arrogance to each other. We should be humble with each other. We should consider each and everybody to be the same. And we were talking about the fact that, viewers of the channel, that if you are in a position where you are affluent, if you are in a position where you are powerful, if you are in a position where you've got a lot of money, and you go to a different part of the world, and you meet people, street vendors, sitting there on the side of the street selling 3 or 4 pens in their hand, 3 or 4 combs in their hand, or tissues in their hand, and that's all they're selling, or maybe they're selling chickpeas or something, a very small amount. Think to yourself, what is the difference between that person and me? What is the difference between that person and me? Nothing. Nothing. In essence, there is nothing. There is one difference, one huge difference, and the huge difference is that Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you. Blessed you to be in a position where you have money. Blessed you to be in a position where you have wealth. That is a blessing, and you will be questioned about that blessing. And how did you use that blessing? By looking down on these people. How did you use this blessing? By abusing these people, by swearing at these people, by pushing these people away, thinking that you are better than them. Who knows who is the best? You know, we mentioned a few days ago, there was a story of a young child, who was a laborer. He used to carry stuff from the market for people. People used to buy stuff from the market, and he used to carry it home for them. But when he was carrying them home, the time for Zuhr came, and he stopped and went to read his namaz. And then what happened was, he then came home, came to the person's house, and the owner of the house was so impressed by the fact that this child had stopped his work to read the namaz that they invited him for a meal. And he said, I can't come, I'm fasting. So they said, okay, come at Maghrib. And when he came at Maghrib, he said, show me the way to the masjid. He went to the masjid. He performed the Salatul Maghrib. He then performed Salatul Isha. He then came home. And as the blessings of that young person that may be insignificant in the eyes of many, many people, it is said that the daughter of that house who was paralyzed, she did dua that because of the piety of this person that we have in our house, because of the piety of the guest that we have in our house, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, restore my former health. And all the disabilities were taken away because of that pious person. But outwardly, what is that person like? He has no money, he has no wealth, he has simple clothes. And yet we are looking down at them. That person could be so much more greater than us, but we are looking down on these people. So viewers of the channel, we need to be very careful that we don't have this arrogance inside us. Because arrogance looks to, one we've seen it that we're not willing to take advice because we're arrogant. Secondly, what happens is we degrade people as well. We're looking down on people as well. We push them away as well. So we're hurting the hearts of Muslims as well. We're hurting them as a result of our arrogance. So now that's two sins that we've mentioned. And there are many other sins that we mentioned at the beginning that we are, as a result of our arrogance, that unfortunately we're acting upon. It is stated in a blessed hadith that to whatever level a person observes humility for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah bestows him with eminence of the same level and even bestows the highest rank upon him. The person who prides himself to whatever level, Allah Azza wa Jal makes him fall to the same level even till he gets him to the lower level. So if you want to be at the lowest level in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal, put you in the highest level here. Be arrogant in this dunya. Think you're rich in this dunya. But if you want to get the highest level in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jalla, then lower yourself here. Humble yourself here. Be on the ground here and think to yourself that I am nothing here. That there's nothing between me and them. And the pious people of the past, they would even go one step further. They wouldn't say that we are equal. They would say that everybody is better than me. Everybody is better than me. And that is the mindset that we need to have, that everybody is better than me. And if we can develop that mindset that everybody is better than me, then this arrogance will automatically get removed. Be it knowledge, be it wealth, be it power, be it whatever it is. That child knows more than me. That person knows more than me. And so we need to, again, lower ourselves and humble ourselves. It is stated in another hadith, viewers of the channel, that the one who adopts humility in front of his Muslim brother Allah Azza wa Jal bestow eminence to him, and the one who expresses the superiority in front of him, Allah Azza wa Jal will disgrace him. So being humble, viewers of Mother Channel, be humble in front of people. And that's what we need to learn. We need to learn to be humble. And you know, I think I mentioned this before, that a fruit tree that gives apples, or it gives oranges, or whatever it gives, what does it do? It lowers its branches. It lowers its branches to give the fruit to you. Those fruit trees whose branches are really up in the air, it's very, very hard to get the fruit off them. Yeah? But those fruit that lower themselves, yeah, a normal person can take the fruit. As Muslims, we are offering the fruit of Islam to people. And by offering the fruit of Islam to people, we need to lower ourselves. We need to humble ourselves. If we are arrogant and look at people and say, going to the hellfire. You're not going to get anywhere. You're going to stay like this. You're going to stay like that. You don't read your namaz. You don't do this. And look down at people. Then you'll achieve nothing. But if you humble yourselves, give people love, people kindness, respect them, smile to them, make them listen to you, make them get closer to you. And you know, today, viewers of the channel, on this day we're in programs during the day, we'll talk about Dawat Islami during this day as well. And Amir al-Sunnah has achieved so much. Dawat Islami has achieved so much, viewers of the channel. It's more than 100 countries in the world, more than 108 departments in the world. So much has happened. And yet, if you look at the essence of it, if you look at the root of all of it, it is all of the humbleness of Amir al-Sunnah. It is all the love that Amir al-Sunnah has bestowed upon people. And it's because of that that people are coming closer. Even today, you watch Madani Muzakir, you watch the TV programs in which Amir al-Sunnah presents himself and he's talking himself, and you will see the humbleness that he has. And it's because of that humbleness, because of that sincerity, viewers of my channel, that Dawat Islami has become so successful. We're talking about arrogance, viewers of my channel. I'm going to give you some ayats of the Quran as well now. It is stated, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, indeed, he does not like the arrogant one. In ayah 35 of Surah Al-Mu'min, part 24, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and I give you the translation, this is how Allah Azza wa Jalla seals the entire heart of every arrogant, rebellious person. In Surah Al-Mu'min, part 24, ayah 60, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, indeed, those who remain arrogant in worshipping me will soon enter hell humiliated. And another, Surah Al-Araf, part 9, ayah 146, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and I shall turn those people away from my signs who unjustly wait to seek greatness in the earth. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Rise and Shine. And today we're talking about arrogance. And we've got a guest on the line, mashallah, Wasim Bhai, all the way from London. Wasim Bhai, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mashallah.
Wasim Bhai, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal, how are you, sir?
Alhamdulillah. Wasim Bhai, today we're talking about arrogance. And, you know, Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi ta'ala, he mentioned the fact that a person who is arrogant, he doesn't like for his brother what he likes for himself. A person who is arrogant, he begins to lie to protect his own honor. A person who is arrogant is not willing to take advice. A person who is arrogant, he commits all sorts of other sins. He looks down on people, he degrades people. And so from this, we can see that arrogance is such a huge problem. And I was hoping that you can give us some motherly pearls with regards to this particular topic, that, you know, how can we're trying to find out. You know, in the same way we're seeing that a lot of people are having blood tests now, and during the current situation with the current virus, they're going to go and get tests done. And when they get the test done, they come back and they're either positive and negative. And if they're negative, they're happy. If they're positive, then they have to, you know, take isolation, etc., etc. But what about doing these tests on ourselves of our spiritual diseases, so that when we get the results, we can act accordingly? You know, if a person has high cholesterol, he can adjust his life. If he has a sugar problem, he adjusts his life. But how can we recognize these illnesses we're seeing by that are inside us? Not only arrogance, but many, many other illnesses as well.
Indeed, mashallah. First of all, Khalid Bhai, obviously to understand all this, to realize that whether we have this illness or not within us is the main and foremost thing. And to do that, of course, we need to have the knowledge of this. How would we be able to safeguard ourselves against something which we don't even know whether we have it or not? Just take the example of the current pandemic that we are facing. of course, if we have some kind of symptoms and if we feel that we have those symptoms only, then we will go to carry out those tests. If you think that we are perfectly fine, nothing is wrong with me, you know, I have no problem whatsoever, then we wouldn't bother to go and get those tests carried out on us. Similarly, you've, mashallah, beautifully mentioned the harms of arrogance and other spiritual illnesses as well. But when will we develop that mindset that we need to avoid them, we need to abandon them? It will only be when we will realize that we actually do have them inside us, in our character, and that would only be possible if we have the relevant knowledge regarding them. We know the definition and understanding of what those illnesses mean. Now, today's topic, arrogance, that we're talking about, the first and foremost thing for us to would be to understand what arrogance is, the definition of arrogance. Only then we will be able to judge or analyze whether any element of arrogance exists within us or not. And if so, then we can look into those remedies by the help of which we can get rid of arrogance. So first and foremost thing is to acquire knowledge regarding arrogance, and it is also amongst obligatory knowledge, Farz ulum, upon us for us to learn about arrogance. And I'm sure you would have mentioned the definition of arrogance with the views of Madani channel, but Khalid bhai, one very important fact that we need to understand over here is that by having arrogance within ourselves, what do we actually achieve? Because anything that we do, there has to be some kind of result for it, some kind of, you know, achievement. What do we achieve out of arrogance? We don't achieve anything apart from self-harming ourselves. Now, if you think about from a worldly perspective, when we look down at others, when we think ourselves to be superior than others, then what eventually happens? We lose our dignity, our respect in the sight of other people. They start disliking us. And within our own selves, we self-presume that, you know, we are better than the other person. And we think that, you know, we are better than everyone. But on the other hand, what actually is happening is that we are losing our dignity, our respect, our prestige in the society in front of other people, which will lead up to many other social evils, which will lead up to, take an example of business. For example, you're a businessman. If you are an arrogant businessman, then of course you won't have many customers, many clients coming to your side. So this can be applicable to any walk of life that we want to apply it to. So an arrogant person doesn't gain anything apart from self-harming himself, self-harming his own reputation. This is, of course, from the worldly perspective. From the religious perspectives, from the harms of the hereafter, which is the foremost objective that we should be looking at, and we should have in front of us. When we look at the harms of the hereafter, they're so severe harms of the hereafter in relation to our iman that are beyond one's imagination. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran regarding arrogance, innahu la yuhibbul mustakbirin, and indeed he doesn't like the arrogant ones. So if these are the harms of the hereafter in relation to our iman, then we can imagine how harmful arrogance is for us. And we don't acquire anything, we don't gain anything from arrogance apart from self-harming our world, our this dunya, and our akhirah. So arrogance doesn't do anything more than self-harming a person, and we don't acquire anything. So first and foremost for us is to acquire knowledge regarding arrogance, and then have all these glad tidings before us, and try to avoid, not try to, it is necessary for us to avoid and abandon arrogance.
Simba, you know, you will see and you feel in your heart that this person is arrogant. That person himself won't realize that he's arrogant. He won't realize that he's got this illness. In the same way, you know, like we talked earlier on, that a person's got cholesterol problems. He doesn't realize he's got cholesterol problems. He doesn't realize he's got diabetes. He doesn't realize until he does a blood check. In the same way, a person who is arrogant, you know, when a person misses his namaz, he knows that he's missing his namaz, and part of his nafs will feel heavy. Part of his nafs will feel, you know, there that I'm missing my namaz. But a person that is arrogant, there'll be a lot of people out there that are maybe watching this program now that maybe, just maybe, maybe they have arrogance inside themselves. But they won't realize that they're arrogant. They'll think to themselves, no, it's okay. Yeah, I'm not arrogant, but that person down the street that I know, yeah, he's very arrogant. That person that I work with, he's very arrogant, but I'm not arrogant. And again, how are we, you know, how can we, you know, you talk about this knowledge, but how do we acquire this knowledge, and how do we do this, You know, I'm talking about blood check. How do we do this spiritual check on ourselves to find out what spiritual diseases we've got the symptoms of?
Beautiful point you mentioned, and even you would have had this personal experience as well. You talk to many people, or many families would come to Brothers of Dawat Islami to have their problems resolved, and of course there will be some kind of dispute amongst brothers, amongst family members, and you'll be talking to them, and of course everyone will think that they are right and the other person is being arrogant. You're absolutely right in this aspect. And you mentioned a beautiful point, Khalid, earlier I was listening to you. It is regarding humbling yourself. Be humble and give that leeway, have that room for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, okay, for example, you think to yourself that, okay, it's the other person who has arrogance in him, I'm absolutely fine, but try to lower yourself in front of him, inshallah, your dignity will be raised in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just, you know, apologizing to the other person despite being right, this is another one of those actions that will make you enter Jannah, inshallah. So again, we have to lower ourselves, humble ourselves, and we need to acquire this knowledge. Alhamdulillah, there's a beautiful book presented by Maktabat al-Madina on the topic of arrogance called Takabbur. It is on arrogance. It has signs of arrogance, and it contains beautiful Madani pearls in relation to how to judge whether we have arrogance in ourselves or not. And Khalid, one of the beautiful ways of getting knowledge regarding not only arrogance but many other spiritual illnesses is watching live Madani Muzakara for Amir al-Sunnat. And this is tried and tested method. It's not anything that, of course, I'm associated with this beautiful Madani environment, and I do have that kind of, you know, spiritual inclination towards Amir al-Sunnat and everything, but this is tried and tested method. Many people, they, alhamdulillah, start watching Madani channel, they start doing the ziyarat of this valley of the time, and alhamdulillah, they start bettering their spiritual life. This has been witnessed and observed over years and years, and alhamdulillah, Amir al-Sunnat has reformed people's nafs, has reformed people from a spiritual aspect as well. So a beautiful remedy for this is to watch live Madani Muzakara for Amir al-Sunnat, inshallah, along with arrogance, many other spiritual illnesses will also be rooted away from your hearts, inshallah.
Jazakallah, yeah. Maseem, by may Allah azawajal reward you. Look after yourself. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah, mashaAllah. Viewers, Amal Chan, that was Waseem bhai, who's also responsible for our translation here in the UK. I'm going to take a small break now, and inshallah, when we come back after the break, we're going to continue talking about this topic. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Madani Channel, changing lives of millions of people around the world. The only 100% Sharia compliant Islamic channel broadcasting around the globe, bringing you educational and motivational programs around the clock, with over 400 staff working all hours to bring you the best programs on your screen. Madani Channel, available in English, in Urdu, in Bengali, and not forgetting Kids Madani Channel. For us to keep this propagational and da'wah work continuing, we need your support. Please donate generously towards Madani Channel on the following account detail.
Dawat Islami UK Madani Channel, sort code 309773, account number 4363456 0, IBAN GB67LOYD 309773436 3450, BIC LOYD GB21087.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, Hafiz Abdur, encouraging us all to support this great channel, Madani Channel. And again, I'd humbly request you to set up a standing order, a direct debit, and support it, continuously support it. And there are many, many people, alhamdulillah, that are doing it, £1 a month, up to £300-400 a month, whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you the ability to do, please support Madani Channel. We're talking today about arrogance and how this arrogance, as a result of this arrogance, we can commit so many other sins. And we're just going to give you some further hadiths of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regard to this. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Worst is he who considers himself to be good and feels pride and forgets Allah azza wa jalla." Consider himself to be good and feeling pride inside yourself, this is arrogance. But the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Undoubtedly, there is a place in hell in which arrogant people will be put in, and it will be shut from the top. Allah. Allah. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, on the day of judgment, arrogant people will be resurrected like ants with human faces. Even a very small thing will dominate them. Then they will be driven to a prison in hell called Bulas. And there they will be engulfed in a massive fire. Allahu Akbar. And they will be made to drink the pus of the hell dwellers. This is the punishment for he who is arrogant. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also said, whoever has faith in his heart equal to a mustard seed will not enter hell, and whoever has arrogance in his heart even to a mustard seed will not enter Jannat. Commentating on this hadith that I just mentioned, viewers of the channel, Alama Ali Qari rahmatullahi ta'ala stated, by phrase not entering Jannah means that no one will enter Jannah with arrogance, but rather after having been tormented or being cleaned and purified of arrogance and every bad habit by the grace of mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, they will then enter paradise. Viewers of the channel, this illness of arrogance that we mentioned in today's program, I think we all need to take a step back. And if you are amongst those people that don't forgive people, if you're amongst those people that don't take advice of people, if you're amongst those people who think you know better than other people, if you're amongst those people who lie to protect your own honor, then maybe you have this illness of arrogance. In today's program, viewers of the channel, we mentioned some of the symptoms. But the cure, and we've seen by mentioning the cure, is to humble ourselves. To purposely humble ourselves, lower ourselves, and don't think of ourselves better than anybody else. And when we are in an argument, again, the problem is when you get in an argument, you get angry because you're arrogant and you know that you are right. Again, that's a time to humble yourself. And anger is not about showing your strength, viewers of the channel. You know, people think that because who I am, I can show my anger. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the strong person is not he who can throw his opponent to the ground. The strong person is he who can control himself when he gets angry. So viewers of the channel, we need to look at ourselves. And again, you know, today, I've mentioned this so many times, but I'll mention it again, that you can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make him drink it. We are giving you the symptoms here. We are giving you the parables here. We're giving you the things that could be inside ourselves. But unless you drink that water of knowledge and realize that maybe I'm being arrogant, then you'll not find the cure. So viewers of the channel, you need to be honest with yourselves. Be honest with yourselves and think to yourself, am I part of this problem? Am I part of these people that are being arrogant? Have I got this arrogance inside myself that I think I know that I'm better than anybody else? And if you have, then before it's too late, remove this arrogance. And don't just remove this arrogance. Those people that you have hurt, you need to go and seek forgiveness from them. You need to go and find them people and say, you know that day, brother, I spoke a little bit harshly to you. I'm sorry, please forgive me. It wasn't meant, I was wrong. I know I'm wrong, but please forgive me. And seek forgiveness from them. Your nafs will be hard on you. Your nafs will say, no, it's okay. No, again, this is a test of your humbleness. Are you willing to go and seek forgiveness from them people? Then people that are not as wealthy as you, not as powerful as you, not in as strong a status as you, are you still willing to go and seek forgiveness from them? And if you are, then you are humbling yourselves. And if you don't, then ask yourself, why not? Why am I not willing to seek forgiveness from that person? And maybe it's because I'm still arrogant. Allahu Akbar. Views of the time, please reflect on what has been said today. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that we learn something from today. I pray that Allah Azza wa Jalla, first and foremost, I think about what we've talked about today. Reflect on what we've talked about today. You also do the same and pass this message on to others as well. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise and shine. Even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise and shine. And the sun will rise and shine.